Welcome to another installment of Instant Equity, a proven real estate system with Mike Cozzola. Go to teachmemike.com and get started now.
You are listening to Instant Equity, a proven real estate system with Mike Cozzola. I'm Kerry Lutz. This is episode 41. And Mike, you know, we get so many emails about the foreclosure process. It seems to be a certain mystery around it. I guess just not understanding how it works exactly, because there's different types of foreclosures. There's different types of auctions involved. Why don't you just do a show here now on foreclosures 101?
I'd be happy to. So, you know, a lot of people out there, they hear the word foreclosure. So let's just keep it real simple. A lot of times people, they'll see realtors listing properties and they call them foreclosures, right? So let's just dig into exactly the different methods, how they do it. Let me speak to you about the number one foreclosure method I like is doing it through auction. So when you see a property with a realtor, what's happening is that property went through the auction process. It went through the foreclosure process. Nobody bid on it. So guys like me who and students of mine, they didn't bid on the property. It wasn't a good deal. But what happens now is a realtor steps in. They advertise the property as a foreclosure, and it has the perceived value that it's a good deal because they're calling it a foreclosure. But in reality, that's just a property that's listed with a realtor. So nowadays, there's a good mix. A lot of foreclosure auctions, and people just don't know how to find them. They think you have to pay money to pull a foreclosure list. They think you have to hire somebody to tell you how to find the foreclosures. I teach people how to go directly to the source. So my favorite method is online foreclosures. Now, some cities, some counties, different areas, some will still do it in person where you show up at the courthouse or you show up in some convention center. If it's a huge citywide tax sale, they might do hundreds or 1,000 at a time. But sometimes, and matter of fact, there was just one last Saturday at a fire hall. So this was a great auction, those tremendous deals, they did a poor job advertising it. They didn't have a lot of people in the room. And this was just this past Saturday. So we're just talking about a few days ago. And there were some amazing deals. And it was live. And it's something that you would have to travel to. But sometimes that's the benefit. Because if there's very few people in the room and they do a poor job of advertising it, it might only be once a year like this one is, but there's just not a lot of people in the room. So that's what I call a live auction. In that particular auction, everybody got great deals because there just wasn't a lot of competition. Now, online auctions, so it's still the same thing. There's different, okay, so you can be foreclosed for not paying your property taxes. You could be foreclosed for not paying your mortgage. You could be foreclosed for not paying the homeowners association. These are just different ways that you can put yourself into the foreclosure process. Now, when the property is ultimately foreclosed upon, that's what we're talking about right now. It may be a live auction that they auction it off. They may put it online to auction it off. And they may do it on the courthouse steps. So all these different areas. But what's great now, because I'm a guy that invests in real estate and in foreclosures all over the country. So when I find the properties that are listed online through auction, it's really good because you're able to do all your research online. What's the property worth? What kind of neighborhood is the property in? And, you know, just my 10 favorite sites are in the toolkit, which we'll talk about a little bit later, my free toolkit, where I just show you the 10 best sites, how to get started. Sometimes this information might seem really overwhelming in the beginning, but it's quite simple. So you can bid it online, in person, but you know, the great thing about the online ones, and I tend to favor those only because less time is involved. I simply do my homework, figure out what the property's worth, decide on what my maximum bid is, place my bid. I don't have to drive there. I don't have to figure it out. And a lot of people say, well, Mike, how are you doing your inspections or how are you checking out the inside? Well, what I do is I just put in a rock bottom bid. There's people, and I show you how to do it. That'll give you a good drive-by, a good assessment. You know how the roof is, the windows are, the exterior, the neighborhood. You know, when you can figure out all those factors, even if you have to put in some new carpet, some new paint, you just bid the property so low that there's so much room there that you're factoring in worst case scenario, not best case scenario. You place your bids on worst case scenario because, in my opinion, the money is made on the buy. So I make my money. It's what we call instant equity. I make my money on the purchase. I don't buy a property, hope it goes up in value, and resell it. To me, that's risky. But buying a property for a fraction of its value, putting money into it, or just wholesaling it out. You know, there's a huge business, and I've wholesaled tons of properties. You wholesale it. So you don't have to go in, you don't have to buy it and fix it up and rent it out. You just do that if you want to. The reason why I now favor, and I only do it because it maximizes my profit. I like to buy the property. It's what I call put it on its feet. Do whatever it needs, cosmetic repairs, make the property look good, cost effectively, just like I show you guys how to do, and sell it at a retail price. Now, I'm not opposed to wholesaling. I've done that a lot of times. You just buy it, you just resell it right away. And that's just one of the steps that I teach students to do because some people are more interested in wholesaling it, buying it, selling it right away, move on to the next deal. They're not looking to make the lion's share of the profit. They're just looking to make a small profit. And then ultimately, the person that does fix it up and remodels it makes the lion's share of the profit. That's a great business. But me, at this point, I like to buy the properties, fix them up, do whatever they need, and sell them retail. So I can make the lion's share of the profit. But some people starting out, they just don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of experience. So there's a lot to be said for just buying it, selling it, and moving on to the next deal.
And so that's funny. They had a fire sale at the fire hall, huh?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, sometimes it's just in a really obscure area. And I had to drive through farmland. And I mean, you know, just the drive there, you're thinking, are you sure I got this address right? I mean, it was at a fire hall, you know, and it was just in one little room of a fire hall. I mean, it was just, but, you know, sometimes those diamonds, those gems, and, you know, I show you how to find where these areas are. Any area in the country, they're going to have a method. How do they sell the properties? Is it online? Is it in person? Is it monthly? Is it yearly? Is it a couple times a week? Every single city, every single county in this country has a different method for doing it. And all that information is right there. It's so easy to find.
Amazing. And I guess at tax sales, you can really get the best deals of anything out there compared to where the bank foreclosures take place, right? I mean, the tax sales seem to be more advantageous price-wise.
Yeah, and let's just clarify a quick point. You know, the tax sales that I like are where they don't pay the taxes and you're ultimately purchasing the property, not purchasing a certificate or a debt on the property. I favor, when I'm doing tax sales, I favor the areas where if the people don't pay the property taxes, the city, the county sells the property to the highest bidder. You own the property and you can do whatever you want with it. Rent it out, resell it, wholesale it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's the good old-fashioned tax deed sale. And as far as bankroll, how much money do you need for these tax deed sales here?
Well, you know, I'll just give an example because, you know, some people start with a few $1,000s. So I've seen people start with a few $100,000s. It really is all your comfort level, but I'll give you one example of a student that came with me and he just didn't have a lot of money. So he wanted to buy through a tax sale. And what he did is he bought two just vacant lots, you know, right next door to each other. He paid $500 each. So he paid $1,000 combined for two different properties right next door to each other and then resold them for $5,000. So some people would say, well, that's a waste of time. I wouldn't want to get involved. But to some people, that's their start. So it doesn't really matter what your bankroll is. I mean, you know, don't use the excuse that you just don't have the money because, you know, even if you had just say $3,000-$4,000, you're thinking, well, I can't get started with that. Well, yeah, you can because there's properties that are selling daily at that amount. And there's all different areas. You know, I favor another area where they do tax sales every Tuesday. And every Tuesday, you know, I just get up in the morning, I pull the list, I check out what's out there, and, you know, I put in bids for a fraction of their value, and some are going to stick, some aren't. But it doesn't matter what you're starting with, because if you do have some extra money socked away, or you do have an old IRA or 401k just sitting there, Rather than cash it out, you could roll it into what they call a self-directed IRA, not pay the 10% penalty, not pay income taxes on transferring that money, and use those funds to buy your very first property. You know, there's creative ways to do this. You can start off small, work your way up. If you do happen to have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 saved up, it's a great opportunity to buy a good single family, two family. And you might be thinking, well, what kind of nice house are you going to get for that? Well, you're getting a property that it's supply and demand. It's just you bid on the ones where you don't have competition. You know, it's really simple. If it goes above the number you're willing to pay, you simply walk away. And I bought some beautiful properties, stuff that would shock you, for less than $30,000.
Amazing. Well, Mike, I know they're going to want to get your special toolkit to tell us how to do that.
Yeah, if you want to just check out my toolkit, it's just the 10 resources. You know, a lot of people, I have a number one best-selling book, and a lot of people, you know, they just don't have the time to read 400 pages. So what I created was just my basic 10-step how to get started, just 10 resources that I like to use. And if you go to my site, teachmemike.com, you enter just your first name and your email address, and I'll immediately, you'll have access to my 10 resource toolkit. And there's no charge for it. It's just my way of, you know, giving people a start, showing them exactly what to do, step one, and what I do personally myself.
And also, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, just go over to the iTunes store, type in Instant Equity, and click the subscribe button. You'll get it in your iTunes application automatically every week.
This has been another installment of Instant Equity, a proven real estate system with Mike Cazola. Go to teachmemike.com and get started now.